You're listening to the Jesus Culture Sacramento Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this teaching from our guest speaker. For more information on our church, visit jcsacramento.com.
Well, I'm excited today to be able to introduce to you somebody who is a friend of this house. Jesus Culture has officially adopted him and his wife. We don't even ask people if we can adopt him. We just adopt them. They're just part of it. And so I'm excited today for our guest speaker. He's actually a missionary from the Middle East. He'll tell maybe some of what he's doing. But he's somebody that honestly has just stirred my heart. I remember the first time meeting him. It was a perfect setting, though, sitting on a deck in Hawaii overlooking the ocean. And I remember him just telling me his story, what he was doing to reach unreached people, his heart. And I just remember sitting there so impressed by who this guy was. And I remember going away stirred, like genuinely stirred, and knowing that our church was to partner with him. So there's a handful of missionaries that we partner with at a deeper level. He's one of them. He is an official Jesus Culture missionary. I don't know if you could just put that on a business card if you'd like. He's an official Jesus Culture missionary. And we support him monthly as a church. And then if you want to support him individually as well, you can get online and there's a whole, if you go to the giving part of our thing, there's a drop-down menu and he's on there. It'll say Micah YWAM. And so if you want to support, and I would encourage you, everybody in this room and everybody watching, I really believe that in our monthly giving above and beyond our tithe, we should be taking care of orphans and we should be supporting missionaries who are on the front lines around the world reaching the unreached. It's something that we have a deep, deep value for. So I'm excited today. And I want to encourage you with this, because I invited Micah to come and speak because he carries a unique anointing. And I believe he carries something that our house needs. And so the Bible says that if you receive the prophet in the name of a prophet, if you receive the righteous man in the name of a righteous man, that you'll receive the reward. There's something on his life. We're not here just to get some information. We're also here to receive an impartation. And I believe that today you will not just hear a great sermon, but there's a grace and an impartation on his life that I believe will really impact and change you and transform you. And I'm praying that for the people in this room and everybody watching online. Would you guys do me a favor in this room? And if you're standing at home, would you guys just stand up right now? And would you welcome to the stage, Micah.
Wow, it's so great to be with you all. Our Jesus Culture family, we were adopted. I tried to legally change my name to Liebscher. It was harder than I thought. But man, I'm happy to be here. Vanning told me before I came up, don't forget to look at the camera and don't forget to turn around. And all these things I said afterwards to my wife, I said, I feel like Ariana Grande. I got to remember the lyrics and the moves. So pray for me as we figure this out together. I'm so happy to be here. We love Jesus Culture. We do feel like we were adopted into this church family. When I met Vanning a few years ago, he welcomed us into the family. We've been here a couple of times, and actually it's been so fun to see familiar faces in the audience, because we took an outreach team earlier this year. You all sent a team to us in the Middle East, and we had a few weeks together. It was awesome, just blitzing the city we live in. I would tell you, but for security reasons, we have to kind of be careful how we say it. And you all came, and we just prayed for the sick and talked about how good Jesus is in places where people have actually never heard of Jesus. It was incredible. I grew up in America. I'm from Washington State, Walla Walla, a town so nice they named it twice. That's where I grew up. I never knew a Muslim. I never knew people that didn't know about Jesus. And now I live in a country where most people have never met him, never heard of him. I regularly talk to people, I say, do you know Jesus? And they say, who? It's that level. It's not just like I used to be a Methodist and now it's they've never heard. And we have the privilege of living there, and it's wonderful. And you all came and joined us, and that was awesome. And I'm gonna ask you right now, this is a missions message, so I'm about to just ask. Got a lot of things to get through. First ask of the night is come on another outreach. Jesus Culture, come, send another team. Let's do it every year. It was so fun. Let's do it again. So I have a message for you guys tonight, and like I said, it's just a missions message. That's who I am. This month, I'm 10 years in the Middle East. It's crazy to me. I went when I was 20 years old. I turned 30 this year. I know I look 29, glory to God. So I have been 10 years there, and I spent all my 20s in the Middle East. I don't regret a thing. It was just, I look at it, it's like, if I went and worked at Home Depot tomorrow, I'd just be happy in God. because my life is just a drink offering poured out. I'm just happy about it. 10 years there, and we were the last years, we work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So we do mercy training and evangelism. That's our jam. So we're training young people in God and in discipleship. We're doing mercy ministries where we can, and just regularly doing outreach and sharing in the city we live in, sharing with the people that have never heard. That was what we were doing. And then COVID hits. And it was crazy. I mean, it hit all of us. It's a once in a lifetime kind of thing. So global that we're all in this shared experience to different degrees. For us, we live in an authoritarian state. So they locked down, meaning they locked it down. We couldn't leave our houses. You had to apply for a permit online every 3 days to go to the grocery store if you wanted to. That's how locked down it was, which I'm an introvert by nature. So I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever asked for. I was just in my sweet spot. It was awesome. But it was hard because our work is people. That's our job. So it was really kind of messing with what we were there for. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, what is it that's going on? What do you want from us? What's happening? We're here to go and share with people, but we can't even leave our houses. Did we hear something wrong? Should we have left? We didn't know how long we were going to be in that place. And as I was praying, I felt God speak so clear to my heart. He said, when the world says stay at home, I'm still saying go. Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples. When the world says stay at home, I'm still saying go. And that was the word I think God gave me in that season. That's the word I think God's giving us in this season, that when the world says stay at home, he's never stopped saying go. He never stopped saying go. He never stopped saying reach the lost, help the needy. So when we're in a place where the world is saying no, I think they said the color purple, something like that, code purple. I'm colorblind, so it doesn't mean anything to me. But we're in this season of restriction, but God's not restricted. Nothing's changed. And when we were in that season and where we're living, I got an email one morning. I woke up and I opened my email and I saw it was from this intercessor friend of mine. You know, one of those intercessors hears God so clear, give her a shofar and a bottle of canola oil and stuff's going down. There was one of those ladies sends me an email and she says, I've been up all night. God's been speaking to me. I've been up all night praying for the lost and for the poor in your city. I've been up all night praying for the poor in your city, weeping because God wants to move. She says, I don't have much money, but I'm sending you what I have. And she sent this really exact amount of money, kind of obscure exact amount of money. And I read that email. I said, okay. So we just said, Lord, what is it? God, help the poor in this city. Obviously, we loved God. And so we all help the poor where we can. But I knew there was something unique. Later that day, I had a permit that day to go to the grocery store. And I choose a grocery store about 40 miles away so I can walk just to get out of the house. And I get there and I see a young man outside begging for money, which where we live is illegal. It's illegal to beg on the street. They're really concerned about images and how things come across. And so if you're caught begging, you're arrested and put in jail. So immediately my attention was there. He had my attention and I was worried about him because I was like, oh man, he's obviously in such a state that he would be willing to risk jail time to be out here begging for money. So I go up to him, I say, hey, do you need any help? And he didn't speak any English. I speak Arabic, so I said, do you speak Arabic? He doesn't speak Arabic. So I said, what do you need? We couldn't communicate, so I go in the store, get him some food, and I give him my phone number. I said, if you find someone that speaks English or Arabic, call me if I can help you. Later that night, I get a call. And it's that guy and his roommate. His roommate spoke English and he was saying, yeah, he said he met you and he was translating. He begins to tell me a story. He'd come from Pakistan a few months before trying to find work in the city we live in. And while he was looking for work, he found a temporary job. Then COVID hits, they kick him out, they fire him. He has no money and he was living in this shared tenement, kind of shared housing accommodation. And the landlord was harsh, kicking everybody out if they get 1 month behind. So he was now homeless, without work, and stranded in a country who doesn't speak the language. And so I say to his roommate, I said, well, how much money does he need? He tells me the amount. It's the exact amount that woman had sent that morning. The Spirit of God. And I knew it wasn't just a miracle of provision. I knew it was a sign. I knew it was a sign of what God was asking us to do, which was to shift and focus on what he was focusing on. And at that time for us, it was the poor. And we began to pray, okay, Lord, what does it take? What does it take for you, this divine disruption? It's not just COVID. It's not just the inconvenience of a government order. It's actually a divine disruption in our lives that you're speaking to us, saying, I want to shift things around. And in that place, I thought of this Bible story. So I want to read this out of Luke chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have your Bible, we just judge you. Luke 5, verse 1-11. Let me read it. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in order in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were the partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. I read that story because I was thinking about it in a cultural context. Jesus was a Middle Easterner. So when we read these stories about Jesus, we think about him in the Middle East. And if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, I used to live in Jordan, and I just lived about an hour's drive from the Sea of Galilee. It was one of my favorite places to visit. And the Sea of Galilee is like almost like a crater. I am not a scientist, so don't correct me, as it really sounds good right now. And it's like a crater, and it actually is a really deep lake. They have not been able to find how deep it is. And it goes deep really fast. So when you go swimming out there, you can't swim very far because it goes, the shallow's just brief, and then it drops down. So that is important. Jesus is preaching at the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are pressing in until he's at the edge of the water, and there's a boat nearby. And so he steps into the boat, the presumption, the audacity just to step into somebody else's boat. Steps into the boat, Simon's there, and he says to Simon, push out a little bit so that I can talk to the crowds. But remember, it's really deep, it's not shallow, so the boat's not just stationary. Simon Peter's having to work at it. He's there with the oars manning the boat so that it's not being drifted out to sea so that they can still hear Jesus' voice from the shore. So he said, Simon, work for me a little bit. Push out a little bit, work for me. And Jesus is standing there and preaching to the crowds as Simon's thinking, what is this guy telling me what to do? The disruption in my day. And then he says, Simon, get your nets put out in the sea. And Simon has this moment where we call a theological term, divine sarcasm, theological sarcasm in this scripture. And he says, you rabbi, you from the city, I'm a fisherman. I know how to fish. I've been out all night. I grew up out here. But if you city boy tell me to go out and put out my nets, for you, Lord, I'll do it. He goes and puts it out and is astonished at the catch as his nets were filled. And then he repents. He says, it falls at Jesus' knees, not because he's so aware of his life of sinfulness, but because of that momentary sarcasm and rebuttal to Jesus, says, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinful man. I should never have said that. I didn't know. And then Jesus says, Peter, you're a fisherman now, but if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And I've read that story and I felt like COVID for us, lockdown, all of that, was like Jesus stepping in our boat. It was like this moment of the presumption of God. I was like, oh, God, do you not know what I do? My life is about people, and here I am, and I can't go out. And God said, let me have your attention for a minute. And for us, he said, look at the poor. For Peter, he said, I'm gonna make you a fisher of men. When the world said, stay at home, it was written all over the billboards in the city we lived in. It was written in Arabic and in English. Halikum fi beitkum, it said in Arabic, stay in your houses. It said it for weeks. You weren't allowed to go out. When the world said, stay at home, God was still saying, go. When the world is saying, shelter in place, when the world is saying, whatever restrictions, God's still saying, but there are people out there. God disrupted something. And here's what I learned. When God disrupts us, it's not about us. He's disrupting you for someone else. So here's my question to my adopted Jesus culture family. Who is God disrupting you for? Who is it that God has disrupted your life? It's not about you. Who is it that he's disrupted you for? Disruption looks like we were working, you know, for us, it was we were out in the city all the time and we were running events and we couldn't run anything because of social distancing. Maybe for you, it looks like you had a job and you lost your job. Maybe it looks like you had to work from home. You know, the amount of parents I've talked to, I just pray every day for those parents that are homeschool parents that never asked to be. Like, that's disruption. But why is God has disrupted you for something? It's not aimless. Who has God disrupted you for? Mother Teresa had this great story. You know, we think about Mother Teresa as one of the greatest saints of the 20th century. And she had come from Albania. She had read stories as a young woman about missionaries in West Bengal. And she was captivated by these stories of these missionaries in India. And so when she had the chance, she joined the convent and asked to be stationed in India. 28 years she served in India, 28 years, just serving in the convent, leading prayers, working in the garden, just cleaning in the convent, but never actually out there reaching with the West Bengali people like she wanted. She'd learned the language, but she wasn't doing what she thought she would be doing. She tells this story. One day she was taking a train from Calcutta to Delhi, and she heard a voice in her heart. She called it a call within a call. And the words were, her name was Angese, it wasn't Mother Teresa yet, but she said, the Holy Spirit told me, leave the convent and go live among the poor. And she said she got on a different train, went back to Calcutta and issued her resignation and went and rented a dilapidated Hindu temple and started the first home for the dead and the dying. It was a moment of disruption, a call within a call. And that's what I feel like God's doing for us right now, is there's a call within this call of disruption. There's a call to people that we have not reached within this moment of disruption in our lives. And so who is it that God is calling you to? Who has God disrupted your life for? We went out after lockdown happened and we were free again. Many people were happy. I was a little bit on the introvert side. I had to grieve a little bit, but I got through it. And we were going out one day, Haley, my wife and I were going out of the city. And there's a place out of the city we live in. It's just literally in sand dunes. It's just sand dunes. And then they have some greenhouses out there where they grow some plants and things. So we'd gone to go to these greenhouses and there's nothing else around. And we go out there, and as I'm driving, I see a crowd of people, which is really crazy because it's actually illegal to gather in crowds in the country we live in because they don't want protests against the government. And so I see this crowd of about 100 people, and I'm shocked. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And I see that they are mostly, I can tell by their appearance, mostly from West and North Africa. So I say, we got to go talk to them. So we go over there, we get out of the car, and I say, hey, who's the leader here? They say, we don't have a leader. And then some guys came and started to talk to me. I said, what's happening? And they said, we were told to come out here, that there was an office that could help us, but they were misled. It wasn't true. We came as a group of 100 to try to get help. We all lost our jobs. None of us have visas for this country. We just are migrant workers coming looking for work. And then COVID hit. They were covered. I thought they had leprosy. They were covered in layers of blisters, third degree kind of burn blisters from the sun. 130 degrees every day, 90% humidity, no shade. Covered in blisters. And I said, who's helping you? They said, no one's helping us. The police come every night and beat us with batons and things to try to disperse the crowd, but no one's helped us. So I said, okay, let me go. I'll go get food. So we went and got food and water and came back and distributed sanitary things and food and water and tried to ask questions that we knew to ask. We said, "Who is there any pregnant women here?" Because there was a group of women. Is anybody pregnant? They said, there's 3 pregnant women, which is a big problem where we live because it's Sharia law. And so if you have a baby outside of wedlock, as soon as you have the baby, you and your baby are put in jail. And so we said, okay, we'll help with them. And we left and we began to do all the work we could, trying to advocate for them. And for 3 days, we took food and water to them, got the embassies involved, got different community advocates involved. And we were able to help them move from that place in the desert to closer to the embassies. And every day we're crying out as our team and our ministry, Lord, help us. This is beyond the scope of our reach. We don't know what to do. We can't help them. Within the first 3 days, the embassy actually flew the pregnant women out, which was a huge miracle, just to help protect them. We're praying, Lord, help us. Within a week, a good Samaritan, some wealthy lady drove by, saw what was happening, and bought plane tickets for every single one of them. It was amazing. It was incredible. And here's the thing. God disrupted us. Jesus stepped into our boat. He stepped into our boat and he said, I want you to shift something. He said, what is it? He said, I want you to work with the poor. So our eyes shifted. What we were looking for changed. So we're driving out of the desert. We see a group of people. One day I might've been like, that's weird. What is that? Driven on. But I knew God was looking at something different than I was looking at before. I went up and suddenly God uses us to do a dramatic act in these people's lives. Most of them from another religion, we openly declared the gospel to them. The last night we took food and water, I was so mad at the situation. I don't know if it was God or just me, but God came through and had my back. And I just preached the gospel. There's police all around. I said, this food and this water is from Jesus. He's the only hope for salvation. Walked past these police officers from another religion. And I turned to my team member. I said, here we go. And we look at the police officer. He just gives us a thumbs up. It was awesome. Jesus stepped into our boat and he said, I want you to work among the poor. We said, what, how does that even look? We didn't even know where to start. There was a mask mandate where we live. Anytime you're outside, you don't have a choice. You have a mask or you get a fine. So many poor people don't even have money to buy masks. I was walking around, they've tied socks around their face. They've, whatever they could find. So we said, the first thing we'll do, boxes of masks. We have a mask outreach. That's what we do. So we just walk around the poorest neighborhoods in our city and say, do you want some masks? Free masks, free masks. Crowds began to form the first night we went out. First night we went out, my wife walks up. She sees a girl standing out front of her shop. And it's, again, it doesn't go below 110 degrees at night. The humidity just increases. So it's not normal to be standing outside of where you could be in air conditioning. And she says, I want to go talk to that girl. She goes up and she says, hey, are you okay? And the girl said, oh yeah. And my wife just says, you know, Jesus really loves you. You're not alone. The girl begins to just heave, shoulder heaving cries. And she says, I'm waiting in front of this shop because I was waiting for a semi truck. I was gonna commit suicide tonight. I was waiting for a truck to come throw myself in front of it. She said, my fiance just left me and I didn't wanna live. And they held her and they cried with her and they prayed destiny and purpose over her. Because God disrupted us, not for us. That God stepped into our boat and he said, if you follow me, I'm gonna help the poor. Like he said to Peter, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So my question is, who has God disrupted you for? Who is it that God has disrupted your life in this season for? It's not about you. It's inconvenient for you. It's hard sometimes for you and for me, but we have in God to transcend that inconvenience and that hardness, say, God, there's somebody out there. Some of you, it might be you're working from home and you're seeing your neighbor. Maybe you have elderly neighbors that no one visits and you never noticed it before. Maybe there's a single mom that lives on your street that you can see is struggling with her kids at home, but you never noticed it because now you're working from home and you can see these things. Maybe it's those people God's disrupted you for. Maybe it's the people in your neighborhoods, the people in your cities. Maybe your kids go to a school and you're a part of a parent group that you're recognizing some parents are really struggling, but there seems to be a grace on your life for this season. Maybe that's an impartation of grace that you're to give. Who is it that God has disrupted you for? Because what he said to Peter was not, Peter, if you follow me, I'm gonna make it really good for you. He said, Peter, if you follow me, I'm gonna use you for other people. And so my Jesus culture family, God wants to use you like he's never used you before. There are people all across this Sacramento area, Northern California. I don't even know where in America I am, this part. There are people that have heard about Jesus, but never experienced him. There are people that are trapped in hopelessness, in pain. They don't ever see their circumstances changing because hope is uniquely Christian. And maybe that's what God has disrupted you for. Maybe the hope you feel that this season isn't forever is actually the hope God's calling you to give to the people in your neighborhood, the people in your children's schools, the people in your work meetings, whatever it is. But I want to say, friends, let's not miss God. Let's not miss God in this season of disruption and make it about ourselves. Peter had the choice. He could have left offended. He could have been like, Jesus was really a jerk. But he didn't. In the Orthodox and Catholic tradition, he became the first pope. His reach was for, we still are talking about him 2,000 years later. So there's an inheritance in this season for those who will engage with God. And here's the question, who has God disrupted you for? And so as I come to an end, if you want to be used by God, if Jesus has stepped into your boat in this season, and you know he's saying he'll make you a fisher of somebody, but you may not know who, I just want you to stand up and I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would show you. And maybe you already know who, and I want to pray for you that there would be a divine anointing from God to be used in a way that you've not been used before, to reach people who have not been reached before. Let me pray. God, we recognize this divine disruption is from you. Maybe the circumstances around it are not, but God, you're in it. And so I pray for my friends and family here and for those that are at home. Lord, would you reveal who it is that they have been disrupted in this season for? Who is it, God, that you have called them to in this season? The poor and the brokenhearted, those in need, those alone, those that are bound to sin and are craving freedom. God, would you send them now? Draw them in Jesus' name and use us, Lord, in a mighty way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Hungry for more? Search Jesus Culture on your podcast platforms to check out more from our Jesus Culture podcast network.